Pursue Growth and Learning by Maura S. When I began working at Zappos 6 years ago, I had no plans to make it a career. I happened to live in San Francisco, trying to get a full-time job in the museum world. It wasn't working out too well, so I applied to answer phones so I could pay rent. Looking back, it was simply a job. Now that job has turned into something so much more meaningful. I knew Zappos was a great place to work right away because of two things: the great people I got to spend my day with, and their fantastic philosophy on customer service. But I don't really think I understood how special this company was until I made a huge leap of faith and moved with them to Las Vegas in April of 2004. The Zappos core values were sent out to us in 2006. We knew we had a unique culture, and now we had something to reference, something that we all contributed to, something to which we said, yes, this is what we believe in. The core values weren't just for the office. They were a way of life. I loved and identified with them all, but I immediately honed in on core value 5, pursue growth and learning. By that time, I had been with the company 2.5 years. In that short time, I had been pushed into management positions when I had no experience and wasn't looking for that in a job. In hindsight, I'm thankful they pushed me there. I knew that Zappos trusted me, maybe even before I could trust myself in certain roles. Because of that, I was able to learn and grow by leaps and bounds, both personally and professionally. After the core values came out, I really started to pursue all of the growth and learning around me. I realized how lucky I was to work in such a supportive environment where I could come up with ideas and know I've been already given the go-ahead to just do. I became more confident and sure of my role as a leader in the company. I pushed myself to start speaking on behalf of Zappos at conferences, something that I would have been horrified to do 5 years ago. Now I love it. I was learning and growing not only within the Zappos walls, but also in my personal life. I was able to set goals and buy a house on my own. As a kid, I was an avid reader, but in college I lost my zest for reading. Now I can't keep up with all the wonderful books out there. I've also pushed myself to get back into a healthy lifestyle. I've run 5 half marathons and am currently training for my first full in December, sponsored by Zappos. I've traveled to Asia to go scuba diving, Central America to climb a volcano, and camped on one to watch the neighboring one erupt. Happiness! It's amazing to look back on the last 6 years and imagine the 25-year-old I was and see how much I've grown and changed. Zappos has been a huge part of that growth, and every day I walk into work, I can't wait to learn more.
Build open and honest relationships with communication. Fundamentally, we believe that openness and honesty make for the best relationships because that leads to trust and faith. We value strong relationships in all areas with managers, direct reports, customers, internal and external, vendors, business partners, team members, and coworkers. Strong, positive relationships that are open and honest are a big part of what differentiates Zappos from most other companies. Strong relationships allow us to accomplish much more than we would be able to otherwise. A key ingredient in strong relationships is to develop emotional connections. It's important to always act with integrity in your relationships, to be compassionate, friendly, loyal, and to make sure that you do the right thing and treat your relationships well. The hardest thing to do is to build trust, but if the trust exists, you can accomplish so much more. In any relationship, it's important to be a good listener as well as a good communicator. Open, honest communication is the best foundation for any relationship. But remember that at the end of the day, it's not what you say or what you do, but how you make people feel that matters the most. In order for someone to feel good about a relationship, they must know that the other person truly cares about them, both personally and professionally. At Zappos, we embrace diversity in thoughts, opinions, and backgrounds. The more widespread and diverse your relationships are, the bigger the positive impact you can make on the company, and the more valuable you will be to the company. It is critical for relationship building to have effective, open, and honest communication. As the company grows, communication becomes more and more important because everyone needs to understand how his or her team connects to the big picture of what we're trying to accomplish. Communication is always one of the weakest spots in any organization, no matter how good the communication is. We want everyone to always try to go the extra mile in encouraging thorough, complete, and effective communication. Ask yourself, how much do people enjoy working with you? How can you improve those relationships? What new relationships can you build throughout the company beyond just the coworkers that you work with on a daily basis? How do you wow the people you have relationships with? How can you make your relationships more open and honest? How can you do a better job of communicating with everyone? Zappos Communication Policy. Be real and use your best judgment. Build a positive team and family spirit. At Zappos, we place a lot of emphasis on our culture because we are both a team and a family. We want to create an environment that is friendly, warm, and exciting. We encourage diversity in ideas, opinions, and points of view. The best leaders are those that lead by example and are both team followers as well as team leaders. We believe that, in general, the best ideas and decisions are made from the bottom up, meaning by those on the front lines that are closest to the issues and or the customers. The role of a manager is to remove obstacles and enable his or her direct reports to succeed. This means the best leaders are servant leaders. They serve those they lead. The best team members take initiative when they notice issues so that the team and the company can succeed. The best team members take ownership of issues and collaborate with the other team members whenever challenges arise. The best team members have a positive influence on one another and everyone they encounter. They strive to eliminate any kind of cynicism and negative interactions. Instead, the best team members are those that strive to create harmony with each other and whoever else they interact with. We believe that the best teams are those that not only work with each other, but also interact with each other outside the office environment. Many of the company's best ideas have been the direct result of informal interactions outside of the office. For example, the idea for our culture book came about from a casual discussion outside the office. We are much more than just a team, though. We are a family. We watch out for each other, care for each other, and go above and beyond for each other because we believe in each other and we trust each other. We work together, but we also play together. Our bonds go far beyond the typical coworker relationships found at most other companies. Ask yourself, how do you encourage more teamwork? How do you encourage more people to take initiative? How do you encourage more people to take ownership? What can you do with your team members so that you feel both like a family and a team? How can you build stronger relationships with your team members both inside and outside the office? Do you instill a sense of team and family, not just within your department, but across the entire company? Do you exemplify a positive team spirit?
Build a Positive Team and Family Spirit by Robin P. My husband passed away under tragic circumstances in December of 2007. I couldn't begin to think of what that was going to mean for our children, our family, or for me. When I first heard the news, I was numb, but I needed to make a call. Strangely enough, the call wasn't to an immediate family member. It was to my employer, Zappos.com. That one action made me realize the strong connection I felt with my coworkers and the Zappos culture. It essentially was my home away from home. When my senior manager received my hysterical call, she showed great compassion and gave sound advice to calm me. She assured that I shouldn't be concerned with anything else but to take care of myself and my family, and that day or night, I should call if I needed anything. After she gave me every single one of her phone numbers, I knew she meant it. As much as Zappos meant to me before, the things that they did after my husband passed away amazed and humbled me. I was reassured that I shouldn't feel pressure to return to work as soon as possible, and they even volunteered to cater the reception for my husband's service. My visiting family had never heard of these kinds of gestures given by a workplace. I just smiled and said, "Wonderful, that's what Zappos is." When I returned to work, I was nervous, unsure of how my coworkers would act around me. But I wasn't anxious for long. There was always someone there to listen, offer consoling words, sit with me as I released my tears, or just gave me a hug. Coworkers and managers alike allowed me time to heal and gave me the strength I needed to continue as a contributing and functioning member of the team. In the end, the most important contributions from my extended family at Zappos were support and friendship. Zappos was my refuge and healing place that gave me everything I needed to continue on with my life.
do more with less. Zappos has always been about being able to do more with less. While we may be casual in our interactions with each other, we are focused and serious about the operations of our business. We believe in hard work and putting in the extra effort to get things done. We believe in operational excellence and realize that there is always room for improvement in everything we do. This means that our work is never done. In order to stay ahead of the competition, or would-be competition, we need to continuously innovate as well as make incremental improvements to our operations, always striving to make ourselves more efficient, always trying to figure out how to do something better. We use mistakes as learning opportunities. We must never lose our sense of urgency in making improvements. We must never settle for good enough, because good is the enemy of great, and our goal is to not only become a great company, but to become the greatest service company in the world. We set and exceed our own high standards, constantly raising the bar for competitors and for ourselves. Ask yourself, how can you do what you're doing more efficiently? How can your department become more efficient? How can the company as a whole become more efficient? How can you personally help the company become more efficient?
Do More with Less by Vanessa L. I joined Zappos in 2007 during a hard patch in my life. I went to a temp agency looking for work and was told there was a company that might fit me really well. The minute I walked through those doors, my life had changed. I remember thinking the core values were simple, easy to follow, and incredibly impactful. Of the 10, I've integrated Do More with Less into my life in the most ways. Around my first Christmas working at Zappos, I had no family, no car, no phone, no money, and nowhere to go for the holidays. In my stubborn head, I wanted to enjoy Christmas, even if it was all by myself. I decided I'd walk to the store and buy one small holiday item every day until Christmas Eve, and then I'd cook up a little feast for myself. I ended up buying 2 yams on sale for 39 cents. That was as far as my shopping went. Christmas Eve came, and I made my yams. I had neither spices nor even a pan in which to cook them. I found some tin foil to use instead. Opening up my cabinet, I saw a package of hot cocoa powder with marshmallows. I sifted the package, picked out all the little marshmallows, cleansed them in water, and put them in my yams for flavor. I ate it all, even though it was not tasty. But the funny thing was, I was so incredibly happy in that moment. I'll never forget how content I felt that night. I could have been miserable and cried myself to sleep because I was alone during the holidays, a time I'm used to spending with family and a whole table full of food. I felt Do More with Less got me through rough patches in life and made me think outside the box in my personal and professional life. There's never one way to do things, but an incredible amount of ways to get things done. It takes an open and creative mind to find, invent, and execute them. I've been more creative, passionate, and resourceful here at Zappos than anywhere else. Roadblocks aren't a dead end here. They're a welcome challenge. Thinking back to when I made those yams years ago, doing more with less, I now know that any issue arising in life is a welcome challenge where I can learn and grow. Since that time, I've gained back material possessions like a phone, car, home, and a steady supply of groceries, including yams. I know it's not material possessions that generate my happiness, but one thing I have to admit, I still enjoy yams with freeze-dried marshmallows in packets.
Be passionate and determined. Passion is the fuel that drives ourselves and our company forward. We value passion, determination, perseverance, and the sense of urgency. We are inspired because we believe in what we're doing and where we're going. We don't take no or that'll never work for an answer, because if we had, Zappos would never have started in the first place. Passion and determination are contagious. We believe in having a positive and optimistic but realistic attitude about everything we do, because we realize that this inspires others to have the same attitude. There is excitement in knowing that everyone you work with has a tremendous impact on a larger dream and vision, and you can see that impact day in and day out. Ask yourself, Are you passionate about the company? Are you passionate about your work? Do you love what you do and who you work with? Are you happy here? Are you inspired? Do you believe in what we are doing and where we're going? Is this the place for you?
Be Passionate and Determined by Dr. Vick. I met with one of our customer loyalty reps a couple years back. She was young, 21 to be exact, and was tired of throwing her money down the tubes in an apartment she was renting. So she set her sights on buying a house. She and her husband had bills and credit cards piled so high they didn't have much left over. All they could save was $25 a month toward the purchase of their future house. As little as that was, we decided it was a routine of saving that was the most important thing. So they began at a starting point that was manageable and not so aggressive they'd want to quit. After the 30 days were up, she told me it was so easy to save the $25, she wanted to raise the amount. And since her new routine of saving was pretty easy, they decided they'd start making a dent in the other bills they had, like student loans. Albeit change wasn't felt overnight, they started to make headway and progress was made just the same. She'd give me updates every so often, and one day, after a couple years had passed, she came in to tell me all their bills were paid off and they had just purchased a new home. Sometime after, they even bought a boat for recreation. Their success wasn't immediate, but her passion and determination to work their plan were impressive to say the least. Her takeaway from the whole process is that they were in total control of their future and their life. They just needed to make a plan of their own choosing and work it through to completion.
Be humble. While we have grown quickly in the past, we recognize that there are always challenges ahead to tackle. We believe that no matter what happens, we should always be respectful of everyone. While we celebrate our individual and team successes, we are not arrogant, nor do we treat others differently from how we would want to be treated. Instead, we carry ourselves with a quiet confidence because we believe that in the long run, our character will speak for itself. Ask yourself, are you humble when talking about your accomplishments? Are you humble when talking about the company's accomplishments? Do you treat both large and small vendors with the same amount of respect that they treat you? Winnie the Pooh said, "It's more fun to talk with someone who doesn't use long, difficult words, but rather short, easy words like, 'What about lunch?'" One of our other goals when we came up with our 10 core values was to create a list that was unique to Zappos and didn't sound like every other company. No two company cultures are exactly alike, yet the core values for a lot of corporations sound very similar. In most cases, you wouldn't be able to identify the company just by looking at their list of core values. Doing a Google search for each of your company's core values can serve as a good test for whether your company's core values are unique. If you Google any of our core values, you'll find that Zappos always shows up somewhere, and in most cases, we are the number one search result. Ultimately, though, it's not the Google search results that matter. What matters is that each of the core values becomes a natural part of employees' everyday language and way of thinking. Committable core values that are truly integrated into a company's operations can align an entire organization and serve as a guide for employees to make their own decisions. I'm not suggesting that other companies should adopt our core values at Zappos. In most cases, that would be a huge mistake. Our core values are simply the core values that make sense for us. In the books Good to Great and Tribal Leadership, the authors looked at what characteristics separated the great companies from the good ones. One of the most important ingredients they found was a strong company culture. Core values are essentially a formalized definition of a company's culture. As it turns out, it doesn't actually matter what your company's core values are. What matters is that you have them and that you commit to them. What's important is the alignment that you get from them when they become the default way of thinking for the entire organization. Your personal core values define who you are, and a company's core values ultimately define the company's character and brand. For individuals, character is destiny. For organizations, culture is destiny. To learn more about how you can create committable core values for your organization, visit us online at www.deliveringhappinessbook.com.
Vendor Relations by Fred. I consider vendor relationships to be one of the key components of Zappos' success. Without them, we wouldn't be where we are today. To give some perspective, it can be helpful to start from the beginning, and in this case, it began with a background check. My career in retail began in Bellevue, Washington, on the men's shoe floor at Nordstrom. Over the course of 8 years, I worked my way up through the ranks until I achieved a buyer role in San Francisco, in one of the largest stores in the company. While there, I worked with many buyers of varying styles and interacted with many vendors. I witnessed some really ugly and adversarial relationships. I witnessed some positive, collaborative relationships. And, contrary to popular belief, it was the nice guys who always came out on top. I was still at Nordstrom on that faithful day in 1999 when I answered the call from Nick. I had lunch with Nick, Tony, and Alfred at Mel's Diner to discuss the potential of creating direct dropship relationships with footwear vendors to sell shoes online. At the time, this was a novel concept and a bit risky. Nordstrom was a stable company, and I had a good job, but being the gambling man that I am, I decided to bet it all on the opportunity to help build something from the ground up. I took a leap of faith. I knew from the beginning that we needed to have strong and positive partnerships with our vendors in order to be successful. At Nordstrom, I saw buyers abuse their vendors daily and use their positions of power for short-term wins. These buyers ultimately failed in the long run. Then there were buyers who partnered closely with their vendors, treated them with respect, and created long-term opportunities. These buyers always had the best business. I decided early in my career that I would create relationships and opportunities that would stand the test of time, and I was fortunate that I could rely on many of my relationships I'd already built. The typical industry approach is to treat vendors like the enemy. Show them no respect, don't return their phone calls, make them wait for scheduled appointments, and make them buy the meals. Scream at them, blame them, abuse them. Anything to get as much as possible and squeeze out every last dime. In fact, I know a time when, after a vendor sold to an independent competitor, the buyer became so upset, he literally pulled down his pants and demanded that the vendor kiss his ass. It's a wonder why people don't realize that business doesn't have to be done this way. Ultimately, each party is out for the same thing, to take care of the customers, grow the business, and be profitable. In the long run, it doesn't behoove either party if there's only one winner. If vendors can't make a profit, then they don't have the money to invest in research and development, which in turn means the products that they bring to the market will be less inspiring to customers, which in turn detriments the retailer's business because customers aren't inspired to buy. People want to cut costs and negotiate aggressively because there's a limited amount of profit to be shared by both sides. As a result of this death spiral, most retailers fail. We wanted to be different by creating collaborative relationships in which both parties share the risks, as well as the rewards. We found it much easier to create alliances when partners align themselves to the same vision and commit to accountability, knowing we'll all benefit from achieving our goals. Not only does this approach get both sides pulling in the same direction, it creates an environment and culture where people are inspired to get up every day, passionate for what they do. It creates empowerment and control of the business, as well as a sense of pride and ownership. It makes people want to do more because they know their contribution means something. We implement this partnership mentality in many ways at Zappos, but it all begins with a golden rule: treat others as you'd like to be treated. When vendors fly to the offices in Las Vegas, they are greeted at the airport by one of our Zappos shuttles. When they arrive at our offices, their buyer welcomes them as we take their sample bags off their hands so that we can deliver them to the meeting room. If it's their first time visiting our office, we give them a tour. We offer them drinks and snacks, basically anything we can do to make them feel comfortable. This is all far from industry standard, but if we were in their position, I'm sure we wouldn't mind being treated this way. The same mentality applies to communication with our vendors. If they call, we try and return their call the same day. If they email, we'll try to respond within a few hours. We realize the importance of communication, and if our partners are trying to reach us, we need to be responsive. Our customers expect this type of responsiveness from us, and so should our vendors. Early on in Zappos, because of the size of our business, we realized we were going to need help running it. There was just no way we could afford to staff all the buyers needed to manage the numbers of styles and sizes in our selection. I'll never forget that afternoon when I turned my chair around and asked Tony what he thought about giving our vendors access to the same information as our buyers. Traditionally in retail, information is hoarded, kept secret, and used as leverage against the vendors to get more out of them. Retailers wouldn't want a vendor to know how well they were doing so they could demand more. But if we created true transparency in our business, not only would they help us, they'd benefit as well. Not too long after I proposed the idea to Tony, he spun back around and said, "Were you thinking about something like this?" He created the beginning of what we now refer to as the extranet. It does exactly what we had discussed. It allows the vendors complete visibility into our business. They're able to see inventory levels, sales, and profitability. They can write suggested orders for our buyers to approve. They can communicate with our creative team and make changes to their brand boutiques on the site. In effect, they're given the keys to the shop. Why do we do this? The average buyer at Zappos has a portfolio of 50 brands, but because of the transparency, there's an additional 50 pairs of eyes helping run the business. Not only that, vendors are experts at what they do. No one buyer knows a brand better than the brand's own representative. So why not leverage their knowledge to help us run a better business? As a result, when they feel empowered to manage their own business using the tools and accessibility we provide, they'll spend more hours helping us than their typical account. The success of our team can be attributed to our buyers and vendor partners together. Negotiations at Zappos are a bit different as well. Instead of pounding the vendors, we collaborate. If we're looking for longer payment terms, we'll present different sales plans based on the days of payment terms. We decide together what makes the most sense for the business, the amount of risk we want to sign up for, and how quickly we want the business to grow. We approach marketing from a similar standpoint as well. We collaborate on what both of our brands are trying to achieve and what it will take to get us there. We don't believe that negotiations need to be an arm wrestling match. If both parties are honest about their positions and objectives, we should be able to find an equitable way to get there. We know there's no way we could have achieved our success as a company without our vendors' commitment and passion, so every year, we like to show a little gratitude. We take over a venue such as the Hard Rock Hotel Pool or Rain Nightclub at the Palms and invite all of our vendors, over 1,000, to our annual vendor appreciation party. Between our vendors and Zappos team, we have over 3,000 people on hand. We cater food, beverages, and wildly interesting entertainment. Goats in tutus, dancers, little people, fire eaters, you name it, we've probably had it, with the hope that they realize how much they mean to our company. The first year we did it, the vendor community was so blown away by the gesture, they talked about it for months. Now it's become such an event that vendors we don't work with and other retailers try to sneak in so they can enjoy the fun too. We like to show our appreciation other times of the year too. When a brand achieves certain levels of sales, we print t-shirts for them that read, "My brand did $1 million of sales on Zappos.com." When we dine with vendors, we always try to pick up the check. This rarely happens in the retail world, but it's our way to wow them as much as we try to wow our customers. Picking up the check at dinner has actually become a competition with many of our vendors. Not too long ago, a group of us went to dinner with Rob Schmertz and Steve Madden, and because they had been so shocked when we'd picked up the dinner the last time, they called ahead and made arrangements to get the check and warned the restaurant that we'd try to play tricks to get it. It rarely happens, but they scooped us. On the last Friday of every month, Zappos also throws a golf tournament where we invite our vendors to play with us. As some say, more work gets done on the golf course than in the office. Case in point, we actually got into the eyewear category due to a conversation with our Oakley rep, Paul, after a round of golf. Today, our eyewear category is one of the largest online, but it may never have happened if we hadn't been out building relationships with our vendors. Our relationships aren't limited to just the retail industry either. Our long-standing relationship with UPS has led to partnerships in finding new and unique ways to wow our customers. They've been a critical part of our growth from day one, and even though we were an insignificant part of their business at the beginning, they have always treated us with respect. Our longtime rep, Alex, works tirelessly on our behalf to find new and innovative ways to improve our service. He and UPS took the time to immerse themselves in our culture, and consequently, he's not only our representative, he's a friend. There are far too many vendors to name them all, but we're also very fortunate in our partnership with Wells Fargo. When others doubted, they extended us a line of credit and a critical point in our growth. They always work with us to continue to build our business and invest the time to know us personally. They're passionate about our business and took the time to understand it. The benefits we've reaped from concentrating on building relationships with our vendors are endless. They help us plan our businesses and make sure we have enough of the right product at the right time. When inventory's scarce, they help us procure inventory on hot-selling items. Sometimes they provide unique items that can only be found at Zappos. They work closely with our marketing team to plan the right campaigns, making sure we're in the right places. We get involved in decisions regarding the direction of their lines. In fact, one of the biggest innovations of our extranet came to be because of a suggestion from our Clark's representative, Tom. Tom observed that the extranet would be much easier if photographs of styles were available, and it was a light bulb moment. Today, this feature of the extranet is most helpful for not only our vendors, but our buying team as well. Because of our relationships, vendors we're not currently working with are eager to partner with us. We have many brands on our site that customers can't find anywhere else online, and it's because of the trust that we've built in the industry over the past 10 years. Brands know and recognize we have the highest standards of maintaining their brand integrity, and because of it, many only felt comfortable doing business with us. Most importantly, I think of our vendors as friends. We enjoy each other's company, spend time together outside the work environment, and genuinely care about one another. We respect and value our relationships and want to see each other do well. I've known many of the people I work with for almost my entire career. When I left Nordstrom to help start Zappos and solicit brands, it was a risky proposition. At the time, we were in a channel no one thought would work, with a company no one had ever heard of. But they supported it and were willing to put their necks on the line because of the relationship we'd built over the years. Without those friendships and their belief in us, there might not be a Zappos today. Those relationships were, and continue to be, one of the most valuable parts of our business.
Layoffs. 2008 was a crazy year. We experienced some of our highest highs, as well as some of our lowest lows, both inside and outside of Zappos. We began the year celebrating our prior year's financial performance. We had exceeded our 2007 operating profit goals, so we decided to surprise all of our employees with a one-time cash bonus equal to 10% of their annual salary. It was our way of thanking everyone for helping us exceed our goals. Later that year, UPS invited Alfred and me to Beijing to watch the Olympics, which turned out to be an amazing experience. Then, the stock market and housing market collapsed. As the global economy tanked towards the end of 2008, our growth rate slowed. Even though we were still growing, we realized that our expenses were too high for the revenues we were bringing in. We had planned on faster growth, and instead found that we had overhired. I was amazed that things had changed very quickly. Just 8 months after giving everyone their surprise bonus, we made the tough decision to lay off 8% of our staff. It was one of the hardest decisions we ever had to make for the company. Rather than try to spin the story as a strategic restructuring, as many other corporations were doing, we stuck by our core values and remained open and honest, not only with our employees, but with the press as well. I sent the following email to all of our employees, which we also publicly posted on our blogs. Date, November 6th, 2008. From Tony Shea. To all Zappos employees. Subject, update. To all Zappos employees. Today has been a tough, emotional day for everyone at Zappos. We made the hard choice of laying off about 8% of our employees. The layoffs will affect almost every single department at Zappos. In addition, we're also looking at closing some of our brick-and-mortar outlet stores in Nevada and Kentucky. This is one of the hardest decisions we've had to make over the past 9.5 years, but we believe that it is the right decision for the long-term health of the company. The rest of this email will explain why. We feel fortunate that we have Sequoia Capital as an investor who had the foresight to see the ramifications of the tough economic times that lie ahead for all of us. On October 7th, Sequoia held a meeting for all of their portfolio companies, including Zappos, with one very clear message: cut expenses as much as possible and get to profitability and cash flow positive as soon as possible. Jason Calacanis also has a well-written email that talks about avoiding the death spiral, which I highly recommend reading. Fortunately for Zappos, we're in a much better position than many other companies. Unlike many other companies, we are still growing and already profitable and cash flow positive. And we are also fortunate that we have a revolving line of credit from Wells Fargo, U.S. Bank, and KeyBank. This line of credit has given us a lot of financial flexibility. However, given the current economic uncertainty, we believe it's prudent to reduce our reliance on debt financing. We've decided the right thing to do for the company is to be proactive instead of reactive. We are proactively cutting back some of our expenses today so that we can take care of our employees properly instead of being reactive and waiting until we are forced to cut expenses. Because we are still growing and are already profitable, we do not need to take as drastic of a step as most other companies of our size. Last year, we did $840 million in gross merchandise sales, and this year, we are forecasting to do about $1 billion in gross merchandise sales. However, when we first put together our 2008 plan at the end of 2007, we were expecting our gross merchandise sales to be even higher than $1 billion. Because of this, we are reducing our staff by 8%. But because we are being proactive instead of reactive about it, we are able to take care of our employees and offer them more than the standard 2-week severance, or no severance, that most other companies are giving. We are offering to pay each laid-off employee through the end of the year, it's about 2 months, and offering an additional amount for employees that have been with us for 3 or more years. In addition, because our regular health benefits cover 100% medical, dental, and vision for employees, and 50% for spouses and dependents, we decided to offer to reimburse laid-off employees for up to 6 months of COBRA payments. In doing all of this to take care of laid-off employees, we expect that this will actually increase, not decrease, our costs for 2008. But we feel this is the right thing to do for our employees. It will put us in the position of having a lot more financial flexibility in being able to respond to potential changes in the economy in 2009. E-commerce growth has slowed compared to its growth rate a year ago, but the good news is that even in this tough economic environment, e-commerce overall is still growing. Within the footwear category, we are the online market leader. When times are tough, the strongest players in any market have an opportunity to gain even more market share, even if overall growth may be slower. Historically, we have actually grown faster than the overall e-commerce market, and we anticipate for that to continue in 2009. For the rest of 2008, as well as for 2009, we anticipate continuing to grow year over year. Our current forecasts are that we will continue to be profitable and cash flow positive, as long as we are proactive instead of reactive in managing our business and financials. I know that many tears were shed today, both by laid-off and non-laid-off employees alike. Given our family culture, our layoffs are much tougher emotionally than they would be at most other companies. I've been asked by some employees whether it's okay to Twitter about what's going on. Our Twitter policy remains the same as it's always been. Just be real and use your best judgment. These are tough times for everyone, and I'm sure there will be many follow-up questions to this email. If you have any questions about your specific job or department, please talk to your department manager. For all other questions, comments, or thoughts, please feel free to email me. Tony Hsieh, CEO. After the weekend had passed, I sent a follow-up email to our remaining employees, which we also publicly posted on our blogs. Date: November 11th, 2008. From Tony Shea. To all Zappos employees. Subject: moving forward. Last week was a tough week for everyone as we went through the process of laying off 8% of the Zappos family. At the same time, it was also heartwarming hearing all the stories of Zappos employees and ex-employees getting together for drinks Thursday night after the layoffs, as well as over the weekend. The economic environment we're in right now is unlike any we've ever witnessed in our lifetime. These are extraordinary times, and America is not out of the woods yet. Many people expect 2 or 3 million Americans to lose their jobs before we hit the bottom of our current economic cycle. As difficult as times may be, if there's one thing I've learned in life, it's that things are never as bad as they seem or as good as they seem. In most cases, this perspective usually comes long after a bad or good event has occurred. This is actually the second time we've had to do layoffs across the board at Zappos. We've been around for 9.5 years, and the first time we had to do layoffs was during the early years of the company, when we laid off about half of our staff due to a bad economy and our inability to raise funding. At the time, we were still not profitable. However, the layoffs we did in the early days forced the team that remained to become much stronger. And because we didn't have a lot of money at the time, it forced us to focus on servicing our existing customers instead of trying to acquire a lot of new customers. Ultimately, it was the catalyst for transforming Zappos from being just about shoes to a company focused on customer service and company culture. It started a domino effect that ultimately made us who we are today. Moving forward, we have a similar opportunity. We have the opportunity to make our culture stronger than ever before. It's something that will require everyone's involvement and effort, but based on our history, I know it can be done. We also have the opportunity to make the company healthier than ever before. As we come up with innovative and creative ways of generating more revenue, profits, and cash flow, we will be prioritizing them based on what will be most beneficial to our company. One question that has come up is whether we will be doing another round of layoffs after the new year. There are currently no plans to do so. When we laid off 8% of our employees last week, we chose that number because we felt that it would cut our expenses enough to get us through all of 2009, based on our current financial forecasts. As mentioned in my previous email, our layoffs were done proactively to ensure that we would be profitable and cash flow positive in 2009. As part of reducing our 2009 expenses and to bring us all closer together, we are in the process of moving people so that everyone in our Las Vegas offices will be either in the 2280 or 2290 building, which are next door to each other. The moving should be completed over the next couple of weeks. We've got a busy holiday season ahead, and while everyone will be busy and working hard with their individual jobs, let's also make a conscious effort to think about how we can help each other out even more than usual. Not just within your department, but cross-departmentally and throughout the entire company as well. Remember, this is not my company, and this is not our investor's company. This company is all of ours, and it's up to all of us where we go from here. The power lies in each and every one of us to move forward and come out as a team stronger than we've ever been in the history of the company. Let's show the world what Zappos is capable of. Tony Shea, CEO. We received a lot of media attention because we had been so public and transparent with our layoffs instead of trying to keep everything quiet. Going through such a dark period of time in the public eye really put our culture to the test. But as with all challenges, our employees figured out how to get through things and move on. Looking back now, I'm incredibly thankful and grateful that we all banded together and made sure that we didn't lose our team and family spirit. It really makes me proud of our employees. I also hope that we never have to go through anything like that ever again. Pipeline. Many corporations like to say that their people are their most important asset. There are a few problems with that approach. First, as soon as someone leaves, you've lost an asset. Second, if the company grows, then there may come a time later down the line when the company outgrows an employee because the employee still has the same skill set that he had when he first joined. When that happens, usually the solution in a lot of other companies is to bring in a more experienced employee from outside the company which presents a third challenge. That new employee often may not be a culture fit. Our philosophy at Zappos is different. Rather than focusing on individuals as assets, we instead focus on building as our asset a pipeline of people in every single department with varying levels of skills and experience, ranging from entry level all the way up through senior management and leadership positions. Our vision is for almost all of our hires to be entry level, but for the company to provide all the training and mentorship necessary so that any employee has the opportunity to become a senior leader within the company within 5 to 7 years. For us, this is still a work in progress, but we're really excited about its future. Without continually growing and learning, both personally and professionally, it's unlikely that any individual employee will still be with the company 10 years from now. Our goal at Zappos is for our employees to think of their work not as a job or career, but as a calling. Our pipeline strategy started when we first moved to Vegas in 2004. Even though Vegas was great for hiring for our call center, we found it challenging to convince merchandisers and buyers who had years of industry experience to move from places such as Los Angeles or New York to Las Vegas. So we decided to start training and growing our own merchants from the ground up. Today, nearly all of the hires for our merchandising department are for entry-level merchandising assistants. We have a 3-year merchant development program where merchandising assistants are trained, certified, and given increasing portfolio responsibilities, as well as put into management and leadership roles. At the entry level, all we really care about is if they are passionate about the category of product their team is responsible for. For our couture team, we hire people who love reading fashion magazines. For our running team, we hire marathoners. For our outdoors team, we hire people who regularly go hiking and camping on weekends. Over a 3-year period, merchandising assistants are promoted to assistant buyers and then to buyers. After 3 years, they can go on to become senior buyers, directors, and eventually VPs. Our pipeline philosophy has been incredibly successful within our merchandising department, and we spent the past year working on rolling out similar programs for all of our departments. There are specific training programs that are unique to each department, but we also have a pipeline team that offers courses for all departments. Many of the courses are required in order for an employee to be promoted to certain levels within the company, regardless of which department he or she may be in.
A sampling of courses offered by the pipeline team. 4-week new hire training, including answering the phones, Zappos history, Zappos culture, Communication 1, Communication 2, Communication 3, Intro to Coaching, Zappos Library, Fred Factor, and Fish, Intro to Finance, Science of Happiness 101, Tribal Leadership, 1-week Kentucky Boot Camp, New Manager Orientation, Performance Enhancement, HR 101, HR 102, Leadership Essentials, Zappos Library, Made to Stick, Finance 2, The Planning Process, Public Speaking, Delivering Happiness, Intermediate Level Competency with Microsoft Office, Grammar and Writing 1, Grammar and Writing 2, Stress Management, Time Management, Wowing Through Tours, Customer Loyalty Skills Refresher, Progression Plan Workshop.
Once our pipeline is filled for every department, then anytime a single individual leaves the company, there will always be someone right in front of him and someone right behind him in the pipeline to take over his responsibilities. In this way, the pipeline becomes the true asset of the company, not any single individual. Over the longer term, we are also planning on extending the pipeline concept up to 4 years before an entry-level employee joins Zappos. If our recruiting team can start building relationships with college students when they first start as freshmen and offer summer internship positions at Zappos during their time in school, then by the time they graduate from college, both sides will have a pretty good idea of whether Zappos is the right fit for the student. Once our entire 11-year pipeline is built, from 4 years prior to joining Zappos all the way through 7 years after joining Zappos, we'll have a substantial long-term competitive advantage over everyone else. combined with our ongoing efforts to grow our brand and our culture, we believe that our BCP strategy, Brand Culture Pipeline, will provide the platform necessary for Zappos to be a long-term, enduring, and growing business.
Tweets to live by. Everybody has their own private Mount Everest they were put on this earth to climb. Hugh McLeod. If you have more than three priorities, then you don't have any. Jim Collins. If the person you're talking to isn't listening, be patient. Maybe he has a small piece of fluff in his ear. Winnie the Pooh. In the pursuit of knowledge, something is added every day. In the pursuit of enlightenment, something is dropped every day. Lao Tzu. Someone broke into my car last night. Nothing worth taking. Car is actually less of a mess now. I should schedule this monthly.
Section 3. Profits, Passion, and Purpose. Chapter 6. Taking It to the Next Level. PR and Public Speaking. In the 2 years leading up to the announcement of the Amazon acquisition, Zappos started getting more and more media coverage. A lot of people assumed that we must have stepped up our PR efforts, but that wasn't the case at all. We simply continued doing what we had always done, constantly improving the customer experience while simultaneously strengthening our culture. The funny thing is that a lot of the press we got was for things we had first done several years earlier, such as paying employees to quit during their new hire training, or occasionally sending flowers to customers. We didn't intend for any of the things we were doing to end up in the news or on blogs, but every once in a while, a reporter or popular blogger would pick up on something that we were doing, and the story would spread like wildfire. We were as surprised as anyone else by the publicity because it was never planned for on our end. We learned a great lesson. If you just focus on making sure that your product or service continually wows people, eventually the press will find out about it. You don't need to put a lot of effort into reaching out to the press if your company naturally creates interesting stories as a byproduct of delivering a great product or experience. As our media coverage increased, I started receiving more and more speaking requests for different conferences and industry events. One of my first speeches was at the Footwear News CEO Summit in 2005. I remember I was a nervous wreck because I hadn't really done much public speaking before. At the time, I agreed to do it because it would be a good opportunity to tell the Zappos story to a lot of footwear vendors we were still trying to establish relationships with. I wrote out my entire speech beforehand, and then spent a month memorizing it and rehearsing it. I couldn't sleep the night before my speech. It ended up going okay, and I was relieved when it was finally over so I could catch up on my sleep. Even though I didn't really enjoy the whole experience, it had a very positive impact on our business, so I was glad I had done it. Over the next year, a few more speaking requests started trickling in. I agreed to all of them with a feeling of dread, but I knew that they would help build our business in our brand. I also thought that, as uncomfortable as I was with doing them, they were opportunities for me to grow both personally and professionally. Like anything else in life, I figured that public speaking was just a skill that required practice on a regular basis. Each speech I gave was just another practice session. During my first year of public speaking, I was diligent about writing out my speeches beforehand and memorizing them. It took a lot of time to do, and I would never sleep well the night before my talks. Sometimes, while giving the speech, I would accidentally skip over or forget a sentence, or an entire paragraph, which would leave me temporarily flustered on stage as I racked my brain trying to remember the lines I had practiced the night before. With each speech, I found myself slowly improving, but I still didn't enjoy the actual speaking itself. Even though my speaking was helping build the Zappos brand, I thought that maybe I just wasn't meant to be a public speaker, because I was so uncomfortable with the process, even after having done it for a year. And then, one day, I had an epiphany. I realized that nobody knew what I had written down beforehand. Nobody would ever know if I skipped a sentence, a paragraph, or even an entire section. I had also noticed that while people appreciated the content of my speeches, they generally commented about two things afterwards. They told me that they really enjoyed the personal stories, and they said that Even though many of them had already read about Zappos in the press, it made a huge difference to actually hear it come from me. They told me they could really feel my passion for company culture, customer service, and Zappos in general. So, for my next speech, I tried a completely different approach. I decided not to memorize or rehearse anything. I would just wing it and see what happened. I knew I had a lot of stories I could choose from on the fly to tell, and I knew that as long as I stuck to topics I was passionate and knowledgeable about, customer service and company culture, that I would have plenty of material to draw from to fill the time. When I finally got on stage, I still had some jitters for the first minute or two as I adjusted to the audience and the room. After that, the time just flew by. The audience was more engaged than they had been in my previous talks. I even managed to get some unexpected laughs from moments in my stories when I was just trying to tell a story instead of trying to recite lines from a script I'd written. I would later learn that I had achieved the state of flow. In his book by the same name, researcher Mihai Csikszentmihalyi describes flow as a type of happiness in which someone loses sense of time, self-consciousness, and even self. That's exactly what happened to me. From that point forward, I used the same formula for all of my speeches and found that most of the rest of the stuff that I used to worry about usually just fell into place. I just went by three basic rules for my talks. Rule number one, be passionate. Rule number two, tell personal stories. Rule number three, be real. I made the mistake once of agreeing to speak at a conference about a topic that I wasn't actually passionate about. Even though I knew all the content inside and out, I wasn't able to speak passionately, so my performance turned out to be only okay. But it was a good learning experience. Today, whenever I'm invited to speak somewhere, I let them know that I will only speak about certain subjects, which may or may not match the overall theme of the conference. I then leave it up to the conference organizers to decide whether they're okay with that or not. Usually, they're fine with it, but occasionally, not. In those instances, no matter how much money the conference is offering to pay Zappos, and no matter how good an opportunity it would be for Zappos to be exposed to that audience, I always do the same thing. I politely decline.